This is Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. If you want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Attention aviation and scale modeling enthusiasts worldwide. Hi, I'm Hawkeye, host of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Tune in as we discuss topics related to plastic scale modeling, tips, techniques, products, events, as well as interviews and conversation with our special guests. Listeners will be able to call in with their comments live by phone or using our live chat room. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour comes your way weekly, every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern here on WarbirdRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
If you're landing in DCA, be sure to wave.
Wave.
This is Warbird Radio.
Welcome to the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Radio Show here on WarbirdRadio.com. It is the November 30th, 2011 show, so we're at the very tail end of the turkey month here at WarbirdRadio.com. And I'm your host for this evening, Ryan Keough, one of the guys over at Wix that, you know, kind of keeps everybody in order over there. And the main guy who keeps everybody in order is my co-host here, Zane Adams, one of the main moderators over at the Wix Warbird forums. Zane, how you doing?
Fine. How are you? Thanks for putting me on the spot there. You know, we have a nice moderator team going here.
And, that's true. That is true.
And it's a lot of fun. It makes me read a bunch of stuff over there, and there's always a lot of information. So it's a good thing.
That is true.
I'm doing well. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing great. I'm just recovering from my Thanksgiving dinner, I think I've finally gotten all the leftovers all taken care of and tackled. So I think that officially the holiday's over with. So that's good. You guys still have stuff in your fridge laying around?
Oh yeah, yeah. I had turkey sandwich number 13 today for lunch, and I think I've got at least one more and a little bit of ham left. So we skipped that and had a baked potato and some fish tonight. So
well, you've just got to donate to the local hanger cat fund.
Yeah, yeah.
Feed it to the hanger cats, you know, because they're all they get sick of mice after a little while. And
mice
dipped in airplane dope really doesn't make for a good dinner sometimes. So
and my cats aren't very good mousers around here. So
Well, you don't have a hanger either. So that's
no, I don't. I have a garage, but you know, that's the dog's domain, but. Man, speaking of turkey, did you see the video that Matt posted on warbirdradio.com?
Oh, yes.
Our local Cold War Air Museum cooking a turkey with their L-39.
Yeah, I kind of looked at it. There was more wind than heat, I think, and unfortunately it was a little bit raw and kind of but boy, it fell right off the bone. It was so tender.
Yeah. Well, a few thousand pounds of thrust will move turkey meat off the boat.
That is true. That is true. I still think to this. I still think they needed to crank up the old MiG-23 flogger and get that out there and put in a full AB, because that would have been something that Ron Popeil would have enjoyed seeing. The father of all those telecommercials and such with right. Turkey roasters and stuff. You know, instead of roasting a turkey in 2 hours, 2 minutes.
2 minutes and chops and dices too. So.
Well, only cost $2,000 worth of jet fuel when you do it. But hey, you know, it's a lot safer than a turkey fryer.
So. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And those Cold War guys, Air Museum guys over there in Dallas or Lancaster, they have a good time. So it was a fun video to see, and it's up on the warbirdradio.com website there on the front page. So check it out.
And to quote all the hipsters out there in the world, the video's going viral. It went all over the place on Facebook. So I know that they've been getting a lot of traffic. So hopefully that means some good traffic to their website and their cause, and some donations for the holiday time.
Sure.
You know, very unique museum. So hopefully they've gotten some worth out of that little video there too. But
still waiting on word on that MiG-23 to see when they're going to get all the ducks in a row to be able to get that thing in the air. And are really looking forward to seeing it fly. So it ought to be a real hit on the air show scene there. So
that would be the only one. They've got some unique stuff over there, and it's always fun to see what they've got. So
yep. And a great bunch of guys too.
Absolutely. So, well, we're taking calls this evening, folks. If you're listening to us here on warbirdradio.com on the 30th of November, you're listening to us live. But hey, if you catch us halfway through the show, or if you're listening to us on a rebroadcast, why not go over to warbirdradio.com to the Wix Warbird Weekly radio show page, and you can download all of our shows from this week or from all of our past weeks. We're up to 60 plus shows at this point. So, boy, we've been cranking them out. It feels great. It's been very fun. So, again, just jump over to warbirdradio.com and you can see more over there. But the phone number to call this evening if you want to be on the air is 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. Talk Warbirds. Come on, call us in. Any of the hot topics that have been going on in the Wix Warbird Forum, we'd love to discuss it. We've got a couple of things we're going to talk about tonight as well, but we'd love to hear from you how your Thanksgiving was, and what's on the docket for your winter season restorations or working on warbirds, or heck, any research projects that you're putting together. I know there's a lot of enthusiasts and a lot of amateur historians out there that are part of the Wix Forum and listening to this show, so we'd love to hear from you too, because you know what, every little bit helps the Warbird cause, I always say. So.
Oh yeah.
one of the hot topics over at Wix that we've actually been monitoring a little bit, and it's something that's close to our hearts, because for those of you that have been members of Wix for years, you probably remember a very, very popular thread back about 4 years ago when Gary Austin, who was one of our great members, one of our Wix posters of the year, and unfortunately is no longer with us, but Gary put together this fantastic I guess you could say a photo essay of the entire transformation of the B-24A of the Commemorative Air Force, what was formerly known as Diamond Lil, into the B-24A with gun placements, the waist turret, the tail turret, and repainted as old 927, which it's been flying around the circuit for years. And we got an interesting over the break, over the Thanksgiving break, we got an interesting announcement that the CAF has decided to go back and actually replace the name Diamond Lil back on the airplane. So it's a little bit of nostalgia is returning back to the airplane. And I know Zane, you've got a history with the with Diamond Lil. I mean, heck, you grew up with that around your area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Being in Texas, and CAF is a big part of my Warbird life growing up. And, you know, one of my earliest photos of me in airplanes is me standing in front of Diamond Lil in 1972. So, I never really cared for the pink paint scheme, the desert tan, if you want to call it. I really like the vintage look they've got now with the, you know, it's a proper look with the black and the camouflage, you know, the for the early A models. And I've I'm kind of excited to see Diamond Lil name come back. You know, it's one of those things. She's been Diamond Lil for longer than she was in any other guys in her lifetime. I mean, you know, she spent what, 6 years with the Air Force, or 5 years with the Air Force, and 6 years with American Alcoa, I think, or
Continental Can.
There you go. And then with Pemex down in Mexico, the oil company, mm-hmm. only spent 6 or 7 years there. I mean, she's been a Diamond Lil for 30 years plus, you know, so why not?
You know,
it's back to the roots a little. And I know, you know, it's a change, but, you know, they're going to keep, apparently, sounds like they're going to keep that, camouflage paint scheme and, mm-hmm. Keep that, A model, you know, pre-war look to it. So that's cool. It's a win-win, I think. So.
Oh yeah. And also, you know, I've heard the plan that the original A model, had the large American flag painted on the side of the fuselage. So the plan, I believe, is to have, the nose art on one side and the big, American flag on the other side. So certainly a patriotic piece, to say the least, in that too.
And, yeah. Well, that big neutrality flag on the back or on the side. And I guess they're going to paint one on top, because I know the they had that neutrality flag up on top of the fuselage as well. So
mm-hmm, absolutely. You know,
I just hope Kilroy stays on the tail.
So. I'm sure.
Those who haven't seen it, you know, you need to go look at Diamond Lil very closely.
It's kind of like one of those magic eye, you know, things. You have to look at it for a little while. You're like, ah, there it is. Okay. So
yeah, there you go.
But you know, it's good to see, because one of the things, you know, that a lot of people don't realize too is that, you know, most of these airplanes, like you said, you know, they've had more experience in warbird years under a certain paint scheme, like many of the B-17s out there. You know, Fuddy Duddy was, you know, served in the colors of Fuddy Duddy longer than it did any other paint scheme in the world. So, I mean, it makes sense to kind of go back to Diamond Lil, but also the fact that, you know, you switch up paint schemes every once in a while and it kind of freshens it up and makes it a new story for the media. And as you're doing tours and stuff, especially with organizations like the CAF that are reliant upon donation funds and gift shop revenues and that kind of thing, it kind of, you know, makes a reason for people to buy new shirts, you know, each time around and stuff. And, you know, it's a little bit of it might be, you know, considered by some to be, well, it might be a little bit too much of an expense for, you know, raising gift shop sales. But heck, you know, the Collings Foundation has been doing it with their B-24, and it gives them an opportunity to honor, you know, multiple groups of veterans. And, you know, I know that they've had it in the 15th Air Force scheme, the 5th Air Force scheme, and now the 8th Air Force scheme. So it certainly helped. So.
Sure. Yeah. And then this, you know, the Collings Foundation is, you know, I know their B-17 909 has been 909 for forever, since day one, I think, basically. But, you know, the B-24 has definitely been through some changes. And I know it takes a lot of money. It's a big canvas to paint. And to get all that, strip all that paint off, put paint back on it, it is a big job. And it does take a lot of money to do that. But I think people out there enjoy seeing the difference, the mm-hmm. different paint schemes over and over, you know, and, you know, different paint schemes. I know my uncle was very excited when they had his 465th Bomb Group on the tail, you know, that made him give money to the airplane, to the mm-hmm. Collings Foundation. You know, their group got together, and I guess the way he said it, and I don't know if this is true, you were with the Collings Foundation back then, but those that donated the money got their tail color on the thing at the time. So,
yep.
You know, so they got to banded together and did that, at least, you know, that one tail code when it was all American, you know. Mm-hmm. It had 15th on one side and something else on the other, but you know, it. I think it freshens them up and brings renewed interest from a different sector. Especially if you've got people with a history with a certain bomb group or squadron there. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? It all comes down to donation dollars sometimes too. And you know, if you want to keep the airplanes going, you gotta pay to play sometimes. you know, sometimes things, initiatives like this help out a lot. You know, the interest in the B-24 really jumped quite a bit after they made the move to, you know, converting it basically into, you know, the configuration of it, a B-24A, you know, 4 years ago, and it's just kind of taken on its own life and jumped ahead and helped keep the funds going into the squadron for the Fifi re-engineing project, and have brought the B-29 back into the scene too. So you know, certainly this is a good I think it's a good thing all overall. So we'll stay tuned for all the news that'll be coming up with that announcement and the official official word as to when it will have its unveiling and such in the very near future for the 2012 air show season, which is 2012 is only a month away.
It's coming fast.
We got ICAS around the corner now, and so we've got things going very, very quickly. But
The National Warbird Operators Conference is coming up, isn't that in February?
February, yep, absolutely. Yeah, that starts out the year, and so I think that we've got a lot of kind of refresh time over the winter time to get ourselves back up and going. So it'll be good. Another thing that I noticed for 2012, which we talk about the CAF, and the CAF is obviously the old standard of the United States Warbird movement, and has been around, you know, along with Planes of Fame Air Museum as the primary group that was responsible for rescuing and keeping a lot of the Warbird history alive in the early 60s and 70s. The Canadian Warplane Heritage up in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada is kind of that same kind of group for the Canadian Warbird movement. And I can't believe this when I saw the number, but they're celebrating their 40th anniversary in 2012. It's staggering just to think about, you know, they've been around and flying for 40 years.
You know,
CAF is almost upon 50 years in a couple of years. They're going to be hitting that mark.
It's a cool story that's up there on Wix. In October of 1971, they flew a twin Comanche and a 310, went to pick up the Firefly,
mm-hmm.
and got it ferryable flew it back to Toronto, and I guess and thus it started, you know. And it's pretty neat, you know. That's one of those museums for us Southern boys down here that didn't pay much attention to, because we didn't really get to see their airplanes very much. I mean, they made a few made a trip or two down to CAF air show in Harlingen.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a few of them to see, but they've done great work for years and years to have that. And I know they had a terrible hangar fire such, but they've seemed to have rebounded from that, and they're doing good stuff. So
they're even stronger. And it really, when you think about it too, they were the birth of several other museums. A lot of people don't realize that the National Warplane Museum in Geneseo, which gave birth to the 1941 Historic Aircraft Group, which is still in operation there and has the old Cornfield Air Show in the middle of Western New York State. Mm-hmm. It was really the CAF, or I'm sorry, the CWH, the Canadian Warplane Heritage, that really spurred that on. They stopped at that little airport on their way back from an air show, and kind of created this, you know, air show on the fly in the late 70s, and that gave birth to the museum and the air show down there. Originally, that museum was going to be the American wing of the Canadian Warplane Heritage. So they kind of started that off, and of course, it gave inspiration to the Vintage Wings of Canada group up in Ottawa. And you've got the Russell Collection, which unfortunately a lot of their airplanes have been up for sale over the last couple of years. But that was in Wellington, Welland, not too far away either. So I mean, they did a lot to really spur on the Warbird movement in that area. So,
yep. It's pretty neat, man. They operate, you know, they operate some unique airplanes. I mean, Firefly is something else. I've never seen it fly, so I've never seen it. So I'm, you know, one of these days.
One of only two in North America, and of course they've got the Lancaster, which is the only one flying in North America, and that's a sight to behold too.
The Hurricane, and so mm-hmm. yeah. Mm, yeah,
it's a growing collection, and of course they've got one of the Lysanders, and they'll be flying America's only Bristol Bowling Broke is the Canadian derivative of the Blenheim, the very light bomber that you see. Well, there's been a couple of restorations over in England that have kind of been up and down over the last couple of years, but it'll be the only one flying in North America when that's finished, and they're looking at when the next couple of years that'll be finished. So that'll be a fantastic thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a rare bird itself. So
yeah, yeah. Well, we'd love to hear from you guys. It's about 19 minutes after the hour here, and you're listening to the Wix Warbird Weekly live here on warbirdradio.com on the 30th of November. Give us a call. 478-787-4768 is the number to call. Give us in the studio tonight. Just you know, we'd love to hear from some of our members out there and some of our listeners. Don't be afraid. We don't bite. So give us a call. Well, I don't know. I can speak for myself. I can't speak for Zane. So
right. No, yeah. Right. Yeah. Not on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. He might think you're turkey, so I don't know. Again, 478-787-4768 is the number to call and give us a buzz here in the studios. And another little bit of Warbird news, which is kind of on the safety front. I'm actually very glad that this is finally resolved. Because it's been kind of just sitting in out there for years now since it happened in 2008. Is the L-39 buzzer of the Santa Monica Pier, David Riggs, who buzzed the Santa Monica Pier as part of a publicity stunt for a movie that never came to be, but they were raising funds for it, and it was a little bit of a buzz stunt, literally. That happened on November 6th, 2008. He finally got his day in jail, 60 days in jail, 60 days of community service, and $6,000+ in penalties will be assessed to him. When it happened, it was kind of one of those mixes of, if you were like me, Zane, you probably saw it and you said, oh, that's kind of cool. But then you realized it's over a very, very populated area with, high speeds, energy directed toward crowds.
Right.
I think there were, six plus federal aviation regulations that were being busted at the time, and no matter how cool anything is, safety is the foremost concern. And it was a black eye for the Warbird industry that day, because the media, of course, jumped all over it. But finally, that took place after 3 years of being in the court system and such. And
lots of appeals, lots of hand wringing. There's a lot to that story, and that one pilot, apparently, there's some history out there that's out there on the web if you care to look for it. But, there's a lot of mudslinging going on around that as well. But it definitely didn't. Yes, it would have been cool. I'd have loved to have seen it. But, I mean, you don't do that that where it endangers people, it endangered people enough where people were scared and running and screaming off the pier there in Santa Monica. So, I mean, that's definitely the wrong impression to put out there,
Exactly.
And the general public, all they see is a military jet flying, at them like that. And, the general public doesn't know, that it's anything but a military jet and what's going on. It looks like bombing runs,
Yeah.
I mean, it just scared people. And that's part of it is you don't need to be scaring people with aviation out there. And it doesn't, you need to be safe. And that definitely was not safe. So,
yeah, and it's such a slap in the face, I think, to official air show organizers and people that put a lot of time and energy into doing things right. I mean, if you're going to do an air show on a beachfront, which there's plenty of those around, you go through the proper channels, you create a waivered airspace, you announce it to the public, you actually do some preparation behind it, because there's a lot of air shows that spend a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of effort to make it not only a great event for everybody to see and so they can enjoy some, fantastic flying and a very, very accessible beachfront environment, but also the fact it's safe. It really was kind of a slap in the face to a lot of us out there that really enforce and hold true to a very high standard of safety. No matter how cool or how neat it was and how many people said, it was just a little bit of harmless fun out there. Yeah, harmless fun in the middle of a Class B airspace is a little bit different in my mind.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, if you're out in the salt flats or out over open water, a few miles from land, it's your own hole you're born in the ground, it's not somebody else's, and that's the key there. The regulations are what they are. You're not supposed to fly within 1,000 feet of a person and that kind of stuff, so don't do it. And so especially with cameras rolling and it's hard to get away with anything in public nowadays.
Cool. Yeah, well, I think that was probably one of the most you know, what was the most frustrating part of it is they tried to bring it off as being, you know, a little bit of sensationalism to get their names. I mean, they always say, you know, any news is good news, or any, you know, there's no such thing as bad news. You know, and when you think about the actual penalties involved, I mean, really, it was kind of a slap on the wrist. I mean, monetarily, you know, it was not very much. I mean, $6,000 to a person that can afford an L39 is, well, you know, not very much at all. You know, 60 days in jail, yeah, that's a little bit, you know, tough. And 60 days of community service.
Well, cleaning up the beach, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I've swept my number of hangars in a lifetime, and I did that because I like the organization I work with.
Right.
So, yeah. You know, it's something very similar to that. But, I mean, it just – the sensationalism of it and the fact that it was trying to pass off it as a publicity stunt, you know, only just – made me grit my teeth even more. You know, the fact that they wanted it in a very, very high publicity environment because they wanted people to pay attention to whatever, you know, movie project they were looking at, you know, working on at that point. And, you know, the fact that they were on every single, you know, nightly news for probably a couple of days straight was just stupid, in my opinion.
And they didn't lead with, hey, this movie's coming out, look what happened. It was, you know, jet scare people. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know that's the way it is, and so thankfully that's one chapter that's behind us, I guess, in the warbird industry. But you know, we'll see how it goes over the next. I'm sure there'll be appeals and all those wonderful things too. So we'll see how that all goes. But you know, if you have an opinion, give us a call. We'd love to hear your opinion on the entire issue, even though it's a 3+ old year issue. It's been out there for a while, so it's been discussed.
Sure. Well, it can happen again, you know.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, give us a call here in the studio, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768. And you're listening to us here, the Wix Warbird Weekly Live with Ryan and Zane here on warbirdradio.com. So, there's been a lot of things that we've been trying to catch up with, obviously, with the Thanksgiving break and such, and a couple of interesting topics have popped up. One that I'm actually excited about seeing a little bit more is, and we encourage everybody out there that's listening to go over to the Warbird Information Exchange, which is easy. It's warbirdinformationexchange.org. It's kind of long, but warbirdinformationexchange.org. If you're not a member, become a member. It's free, and you can participate in the conversation there. Otherwise, you can just lurk around and actually see some of the neat topics that are being brought up. One that was brought up by a longtime member, Pat Carey, is the restorations that are currently on the burners right now and looking at a possible 2012 completion. And that's going to be an ongoing one. It was just brought up, I believe, today. And already some interesting thoughts and topics have come up. You know, of course, we've talked about the mosquito of Jerry Yagan's that's under restoration down under. And of course, there's we've talked about the A-26 Invader, the K model, Special K, which was one of the ones that's on the list. But some others that I had no idea about, the P-51D Passion Wagon at Midwest Aero Restorations. I haven't seen anything about that airplane, and I knew George N. Horning when he operated that airplane on the East Coast for many, many years before he was lost in a fatal accident in the 1990s. Be glad to see that scheme back on an airplane too. So, and of course, yeah. we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're probably going to take a quick break here in a few minutes, but don't want to give too much away ahead of time. But over the break, if you do want to give us a call again, 478-787-4768. We'll get you into the studio.
Looks like we got a caller now.
Hey, look at that. All right. Welcome to Wix Warbird Weekly Live. Who's on the line here?
Tim Landers.
Hey, Tim, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, bud.
It's great to actually put a voice with a name. I've seen you on the forum before, and great to hear from you. So what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was just wondering, I saw you have a print you're giving away tonight. Is that correct?
I believe, was another show that we've got going on. Maybe Zane could bring in that.
Dick Hall and Bud Anderson? I might be mistaken. This is my first time calling in.
Hey, that's okay. You know, congratulations on that one. Unfortunately, you know, I've got actually a Bud Anderson and Chuck Yeager print on my wall here, but I hate to give it up because my wife gave it to me. So, Oh shucks, that one was actually a print that was given away this morning on the Warbird Radio Daily Show that was on this morning with Matt. So, my apologies about that, Tim.
Tim, you don't have a Bud Anderson and Dick Colton autograph?
Yes, I do. Well, actually, I do. I'll just check. This is I'm with the Wings Over Houston Air Show. I run the autograph tent.
Right.
I guess a couple years ago.
Yeah, and if anybody hadn't been, I mean, to me that was, you know, the Wings Over Houston show's a great show. It's a great Warbird CAF show, but man, that autograph tent really to me sets it apart from anything in any air show. Anybody's doing it at air shows, at least in our neck of the woods, to have that. And Tim, you do a great job to have those veterans in there for people to meet. And I know that the tent is full all day for 2 days with people wanting to see these guys.
Yeah, well, you're welcome to come back and any time, and Zane as well.
Yeah, I know. Definitely, I've got it on my plan for this year, and I'm going to be down there make my first trip to it because of that very, very reason. Because I would like to actually get a chance to see some of the veterans before they you know, pass away, but also meet the new generation of veterans that we've got from Vietnam and from our you know, recent wars that we've been having too. Because you know, they deserve all the respect as well, and so I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, cross my fingers, 2012 will be my Wings Over Houston first year. So.
Well, it's great to talk to you. Actually, I'm just now logging on to your radio program, so this is my first time. So, hopefully, I'll be a regular listener. So,
absolutely. We're glad to have you on board, and thank you very much for tuning into us. And hopefully, you'll be able to tune in each week and give us a call back sometime too, and you know, give us any updates that you've got from the area down there in Houston, anything that's going on in your neck of the woods.
I sure will. I'll keep you updated on what's going on here in Houston.
Sounds great. Thanks for calling in tonight, Tim.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Tim.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Man, he does great work. Those guys that put together that autograph tent at the Wings Over Houston Air Show, it just blew me away, you know, to see that. You know, been in there for a few shows, and that they, in the last couple of years, they've done that, and it's really cool. They do have got World War II vets, you know, of course, they had some Pearl Harbor vets, Dick Cole, Bud Anderson, some WASPs in there, some guys from Vietnam, from Korea. It was just really neat. And just, you know, Matt and I and his buddy down there hung out in the tent all day, a couple of days at the air show, and it was just great to meet and talk to those fellas. And it's just a great deal to put it in their show. So,
oh yeah, and I know that's, you know, quite a few of our Wix members actually volunteer in the tent down there. Ryan Short does. I know that we've had some of our pilots volunteering in that area too. So I mean, it's great to see, you know, a lot of participation and volunteer work on our member side down there as well. Of course, Tim obviously is a member of Wix too. So
yeah,
it's great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, great to see everybody involved in that too. So, but we're gonna take a quick break here. And we're going to be back with you here. It's the November 30th show here for the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here on warbirdradio.com.
This is Warbird Radio.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. If you want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Mm-hmm.
Attention aviation and scale modeling enthusiasts worldwide. Hi, I'm Hawkeye, host of the Plastic Scale Modeling Hour. Tune in as we discuss topics related to plastic scale modeling, tips, techniques, products, events, as well as interviews and conversation with our special guests. Listeners will be able to call in with their comments live by phone or using our live chat room. The Plastic Scale Modeling Hour comes your way weekly, every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern here on WarbirdRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at WarbirdRescue.com.
That's WarbirdRescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
If you're landing in DCA, be sure to wave.
Wave.
This is Warbird Radio.
Hey folks, we're back here at the Wix Warbird Weekly Live here for November 30th here on WarbirdRadio.com, and I'm your host, Ryan Keough from the Wix Warbird Forum online, and my co-host, as always, is Mr. Zane Adams from Wix as well. We make quite a little duo here on our post-Turkey Day show here this evening. So, but we're talking a little bit more about Warbirds this evening, and we're, as always, we love to have your calls here in the studio. Give us a call, 478-787-4768, to reach us in the studio. Or you can also jump on to warbirdradio.com and go over to the link for live chat. And over on the right-hand side of the site on the sidebar, you can jump into the live chat. And we're monitoring that, too. We got a couple of people that are active over there and would love to hear from you. If you can't get to a phone, you can talk with us over there on that. So, again, jump on to warbirdradio.com and jump into the live chat if you'd like to discuss a little bit with us. But if you're listening to us on the podcast, which is available after the show, most of the times within a couple of within the hour after the show is done, you can download the podcast if you're listening to us on that, or on the rebroadcast. Well, you're probably not going to reach us on the chat. So if I could give a little bit of a little plug here for those of you who are Wix members, and you may be familiar with the actual parent site of Wix, which is called the Warbirds Resource Group at warbirdsresourcegroup.org. It's part of a whole network of sites that were created by our founder, Scott Rose, that he maintains. And also included in that is the Warbird Registry, which is actually a registry of most of the flying and on display warbirds in the, at least in the United States. We've got a pretty good summary of that, but Scott's been putting a lot of work recently into updating the registry. And if you go to the main page for the Warbirds Resource Group at warbirdsresourcegroup.org, you can see some of the updates that he's made over there, and he's looking for any help in terms of updating the Warbird registry as well. So I got to give a big salute to our founder Scott for all of his help in terms of that. It takes a lot of time out of his busy schedule, but we're glad that he's able to keep it going and keep the site good and fresh for a lot of us out there, because heck, if it wasn't for the Wix forum, there wouldn't be a show like this.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, Matt would have never even thought about offering us a show. So,
well, great thanks to Scott and all his hard work, man. He's doing a lot of hard work on that registry. He's been, and it looks like he took the whole Thanksgiving weekend to add new photos and do updates to the, add new profiles and things in that registry. And, I'm amazed at the traffic that registry gets. And I know I hit it fairly regular, I've still got the book on the shelf, the big fat Warbirds Registry book, I very rarely go pick it up off the shelf anymore, because it's all right there on Scott's site. So It's good stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, he does have a lot of help from a lot of people. A lot of people have been very kind in terms of letting them use photos that they've taken or, you know, the research that they've done. In fact, actually, a shout out to one of our Canadian supporters, Martin Keenan. He's been actually helping quite a bit in terms of the updating a lot of the Century Series jets and providing a lot of research. He puts a lot of effort into keeping accurate logs of those airplanes on display, everything from the F-100s all the way up to the F-107s and, you know, with F-105s, and the F-4 and such in there.
Even right.
Doesn't go in the 100 series, but it's still, in my mind, a Century Series fighter. So thank you very much for that. And, you know, you can, if you're a Wix member and you visit the site on a regular basis, actually, if you're doing your Christmas shopping or your holiday shopping, one way you can support Wix is you can jump onto Wix or the Warbirds Resource Group, and any of the links to Amazon.com, if you're doing your shopping online at Amazon.com, if you start off your shopping from one of the links there, that actually helps keep Wix going. Actually, we're an affiliate of Amazon.com, and every purchase has a percentage of the sale dollars that comes back to Wix. So you know, you can get something for Christmas, and well, Wix can get a little bit of something for Christmas too.
There you go. So yeah, there's on the Warbird registry page, there's a little search box, and on the main forum page up there in the upper right hand corner, click that if you're going to do some shopping on Amazon, and it will take you to the search your Amazon search and give us a few pennies. So we appreciate it.
Absolutely. So that's our shameless plug for this evening. So we appreciate the time that Matt at WarbirdRadio.com gives us to get up on our stump for a little while here. And of course, come back to WarbirdRadio.com as much as you can too, and click on our on the banners and patronize the sponsors of WarbirdRadio.com to keep things rolling over on that side too, because altogether the entire network of all of our partner sites together are it's a great resource online. So we appreciate our little venture into the multimedia universe that Warbird Radio has given us here. So thing. But we were, before the break, we were talking a little bit about a couple of topics. One of them was the L-39 Albatross, the pilot that buzzed the Santa Monica Pier several years back, final conviction on that and such. And kind of got started a little bit on talking about sensationalism and using warbirds and kind of oddball fashions and such. One of the strange cases file out there was the L-39 that was recently seen on the show Pawn Stars, which I don't know. Did you catch this one, Zane, at all?
No, I didn't see it. I saw the post on it on Wix there, but I haven't seen the show.
Yeah,
with that on it. Yeah,
they've had a couple of these things. And, it goes to show. I mean, if we had to rely upon the media and general network television stations to educate the future on warbirds, we would have no hope.
Aviation in general.
So. Oh, exactly. Yeah. You could say a lot about that, but in the case of shows like this and such, people, they've had actually two warbirds on there. They had a V-77 Stinson that was painted up in RAF camouflage. It was on the back of a trailer.
I saw that episode, and I was surprised at oh no, it's a piece of junk. It's old. It's 60 years old. It ain't never gonna fly. And I was wait a minute.
Completely discounting actually what is a fantastic classic airplane and certainly a Warbird category airplane in the first place too.
I'm taking that project off their hands.
So. Oh, absolutely.
My wife would have shot me if I brought it home and thrown it in the driveway, but
yeah,
an old airplane wouldn't hurt, right?
That is true, but I mean, it irritates me sometimes when they utilize old airplanes or at least Warbird type airplanes to categorize it as the toys of the rich or a piece of junk old thing. I mean, certainly if they brought a 57 Chevy on there, they wouldn't think the same thing, but the same vintage of airplane, they discount completely because they don't know how to fly and such.
Right,
and then it just leads me into reality shows and using daredevil flying of you know, putting somebody up in the front cockpit of a Stearman and doing some mild aerobatics with them, and you know, that's a dare or whatever the heck it is.
Yeah.
It seems like those kind of shows just absolutely, you know, do a complete upside down disservice to warbirds and don't get people excited about it. They, you know, just apply the entire, well, it's an old airplane, so it's naturally dangerous and, you know, very, very, you know, you got to be careful and that kind of thing. Well, yeah, but, you know, what? Some of these airplanes are pretty darn safe. In fact, I would trust myself in a B-17 or a Stearman or an N-3N if our friend Jeff is listening, any day over, you know, some of the newer airplanes out there. So, I mean, I you know, it just, that was a little bee in my bonnet that I wanted to get out.
Yeah, yeah. You know, a Technum with a dual Rotax on it, you know, doesn't excite me, but.
Yeah, yeah. If
it's a little worrisome, but, you know.
A lot of listeners that are going, a what?
A little twin engine. I guess, is that thing, is it Italian?
I think it's German, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, well,
we're talking about
carbon, a little carbon fiber. I saw this thing flying down through the sky the other day. It's a little twin engine, probably a four place twin engine high wing composite airplane. You know, I guess it's perfectly good for getting your multi engine rating and a cheap way to do it. But it's a funky looking airplane. I posted a picture of it on the Facebook page. So
it certainly has. And it's a new certified airplane. So, but it certainly ties. At least ties the ugliest airplane award, so you know, it certainly is a sight to behold and then go home and throw up, I think. So, but that's just my opinion. I mean, a lot of people could probably say the same thing about a Bouchon with a Merlin engine instead of the DB601 on the front because it ruins the lines and stuff. I mean,
right? Well, yeah, of course it does. But
everybody's got their druthers, I guess you could say. So.
As long as the paint job's right, it's accurate.
So. Oh, no. Let's not get into that discussion. Holy cow. It's kind of like Kevin Bacon. All Warbird discussions eventually will come right back to the paint scheme. So,
yeah.
You
know, oh, yeah.
That's what you get when you get a bunch of, you know, history enthusiasts, pilots, modelers, all in the same room and try to, you know, have a civil conversation. The paint scheme always ends up being a topic.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, yeah.
Well, we were talking about Bouchons a second ago. Hey, did you happen to see? I mean, we checked the Warbird wires, and you know, we talk about airplanes that are up for sale. But did you happen to see that there is actually a Bouchon up for sale currently?
Yeah. Uh huh.
They're over at Platt.
German Fighters.
Yeah. One of the it's actually a very, very well done restoration. It's HA 1112. It's flying in Germany. It's a C4K model, obviously. Going for €2 million currently, and a great deal because only 93 hours since restoration on it. Beautiful looking bird. So that's currently up for sale. A bit of a modernized cockpit, which is another one of those little, you know, stickler points and stuff, is if you're going to do a restoration. Yeah.
But if you're going to be flying the thing and you know, that's one of those things I've always thought that, to me, a bit of a modernized cockpit and a Warbird doesn't matter if you're flying the thing. If you're flying the thing around, you want to be safe. You want to, you know, be ready for all kinds of situations. And if you're in a English speaking fella, it's kind of hard to read the metric German gauges up there, you know. So it's a smart deal, I think.
you don't have to translate, you know, Flugzeit and, you know, Einsgeit. No, I don't even remember half of the stuff. I stopped where it says no handhold, you know, verboten.
I see the Cold War Air Museum aircraft, and you know, they've got little tags on there, every little gauge, so they know what the heck they are. Because that's even worse than German. You know,
what is that, a backwards E? Upside down U?
Yeah.
Cyrillic is one of those ones that I don't think I'll ever be able to, you know, fully learn.
No, I'm not even trying.
You know, learn the language, but writing it is a whole different issue, which is kind of ironic because one of the biggest sources for, I guess you could say, modern day sport warbirds really is you know, the former Russian republics and, you know, airplanes coming out of, you know, the Iron Bloc countries, Czechoslovakia and such, and all using that nomenclature and such. And of course, you know, the construction drawings are in all that and such. And so the early guys that were importing those airplanes or exporting those airplanes out of those areas and bringing them here to the States, they must have had a heck of a time on their hands trying to figure out what part goes where. It's kind of like, you know, getting the box from IKEA, but it is the Swedish instructions instead of the Americanized instructions in there without the pretty pictures to help you put together your chest of drawers. So
right.
So I guess of course, in modern days, you know, the Yak Piles Association, a whole bunch of other groups have done a lot to get the drawings and various, you know, construction diagrams and such translated into something that's a little bit more readable. But, you know, still the early days. Guys like Dean Martin, I must say they must have had a heck of a time on their hands when they were bringing stuff out. That's all I can say.
Oh, yeah. They're guaranteed, you know. And there's a lot of the Yaks, you know, out there flying around, the Yak 52s, you know, and they're a great flying airplane. From what I understand, they're kind of T6-ish in their power and speed and, you know, flight envelope, and they're pretty cool. I wouldn't mind having a ride in one.
So. Oh, yeah. A 52 is a great, great warbird. You know, tricycle gear, so it has that advantage. Same thing with the CJ6s, which are the Yak 18s that were Chinese built. You know, very, very durable airplanes, relatively speedy, economical to fly, you know, great formation birds. So I mean, if you want to be a, you know, warbird pilot on the cheap, I mean, those are great options to look into, and there's a lot of them out there in good shape. Yeah. So and I one of the most amazing little aerobatic routines I ever saw was actually at a fast formation clinic, and he was actually the guy was a one of the former champions from Russia for aerobatic, you know, flying. He was a you know, former world champion. Took a Yak 52 up and flipped it around the sky like, you know, you'd find any of the, you know, the modern day Sukhois, you know, with the high horsepower engines on them or the extras and such. I mean, just flopped that thing around the skies and came back down, and you're like, how in the heck do you get it to do that? He's like, it has no dihedral in the wing, so it can do anything it wants to. Upside down, right side up, it flies the same. So,
yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Works.
Right? Well, it's kind of like an extra, you know.
Yeah.
The extra is not an airplane. It's just it's a.
It's an engine.
What do you call it? Yeah, it's an engine with wings.
With some,
yeah.
with some directional thingies that tell it to go one way or the other. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's interesting that the Warbird. I know it's grateful to have the Eastern European airplanes on the Warbird scene. You know, it creates some buzz, and it's a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun to see. So.
Yeah, and you know, it's good. It's a good starting point for a lot of warbird pilots and great trainers and such. And of course, a lot of formation pilots. That's where they get their start in. So, but
yep.
And one last thing we wanted to cover tonight. And again, if you want to call in, give us a call 478-787-4768. But a lot of our listeners and a lot of folks in the warbird community follow a couple of major shows. Of course, we talked about Wings Over Houston earlier on, but we also have the announcement. Was made on the theme for Thunder Over Michigan, and the dates that's going to be running. Looks like we've got it's going back to the let's see here, August 4th and 5th. So it means it's coming back into a later time period than it's been in the last year. But their theme is really going to be Mustang. Their theme is going to be Mustang Mania, which to me that sounds like the gathering of Mustangs kind of idea. But
right.
You know, as a little shout out to my friend Zane over there in Fort Worth, it's going to be more like Nuts About North American Airplanes. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I mean, they're already saying they're going to have an F-86 there, so they've expanded beyond just the Mustang, and I imagine there'll be a T6 or two at an air show, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, and I would say that, you know, people respect the air show enough these days that, you know, they're going to be wanting to be part of it. So, you know, we might see something that might rival the gathering of Mustangs and that they've had in the past few years, and, you know, maybe possibly be you know, one of the real key shows of the year. They did it with the B-17s, they did it with the B-25s, they did it with the Navy airplanes. So, you know, we're looking forward to getting. They've already already got 7 airplanes on the list at this point, so they're already
only 60 more to go.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But there's plenty of them out there. But anyways.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they put together a great show. It's on my list, you know. So it'd be cool to see. Yeah.
But you know, that was our little bit there. But well, sorry, we got only one call this evening. But you know, hey, you know that's the way it is. But we're glad everybody tuned in this evening, and we'll be back with you next week for yet another Wix Warbird Weekly Live. On behalf of myself and Zane Adams, have a great night, folks, and thanks for joining us here on WarbirdRadio.com.